The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Coalition talks are underway as Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael explore options with Labour and the Independents to secure a stable government. With Sinn Féin seemingly frozen out, what do we know about the ongoing coalition talks? Are we anywhere closer to knowing what the new government will look like? Harry McGee, political correspondent for the Irish Times, is on the line. Harry, good morning.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
So can you talk to us about who's talking to whom today and when and about what?
Yeah, the Labour Party Parliamentary Party is meeting today, and that probably is the most crucial meeting because the 11 TDs in the party will have to take that crunch decision as to whether they're going to stay out of government or begin negotiations in earnest with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. If you recall last week, Pat, Ivana Bacic met the Sock Dems deputy leader, Kian O'Callaghan, and a delegation from the Sock Dems to discuss the possibility of a left bloc that would negotiate jointly. And that was rejected out of hand by the Social Democrats, who said that they would conduct the negotiations alone. So the Labour Party has a quandary. The parliamentary party is divided. There are some, notably Alan Kelly and reportedly Jed Nash, as well as perhaps Ivana Bacic herself, who would be in favour of going into a coalition. But some of its new TDs seem to be quite against that particular prospect. So they're meeting today. Simon Harris, the Taoiseach, is meeting some independents today. And that's the other possibility that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have to form a government with the support of independents. Jim O'Callaghan was out yesterday and he said that if the government were to get a number of what he described as reliable independents, that could make for a stable government. But that's not a view that's shared by everybody within Fianna Fáil. There are some within the party who would prefer to go in with Labour. They would cede a ministry or two, but at the same time, having a whipped party in lockstep with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil would provide more stability in their estimation. One TD said to me, you know, some of the independents, I wouldn't go line hunting with them. You know, he was nervous that if something came that was very unpopular, or if there was a shock, that one or two of the independents who don't have a whip might go overboard.
Now, that question of the Labour Party going in, I mean, if you add 48 and 38 and 11 and then do the sum, and I won't do it quickly in my head, it would mean they'd have a comfortable majority of, what, 20 or thereabouts. Everyone you bring on means one less in opposition. So you get double the effect.
That's because, I mean, the Cancordia position, you know, it's only one vote. But if it's given to a member of the opposition, it's worth two in the hand, essentially. And it's the same for the Labour Party. If they have 11 TDs from the Labour Party, along with the 86 TDs from Fine Gael,
so it's plus 11 plus 11 effectively. That's what happens.
Yes. So they have a very secure majority, and then they can always rely. I mean, there are a number of independents on whom they can always rely, and they have in the past, people like Michael Lowry, Noel Grealish, Sean Canny, and others who have stepped in to support the government at crucial junctures.
Yeah, but don't forget, they might choose on any particular issue, to knowing the government was secure and they wouldn't have to fight a new election. They can always vote with the opposition selectively if they're not inside the tent. So
they can. But say if there are government TDs who are missing for one reason or another, ministers who are abroad, and the opposition refused to offer a pair, they have in the past tended to step up to support the government. So I think that if they had the Labour Party, yes, of course, it would lend more stability. The dilemma facing the Labour Party is, you know, what impact will it have on us? Because the Sock Dems, who have an equal amount of TDs as well as Sinn Féin, can make hay in opposition. And the Labour Party, naturally, there's a concern among some of its TDs that once it goes into government, the chances of them returning 11 seats in the next election or anything like 11 seats will disappear like a puff of smoke.
I suppose it depends on what confidence they have that the government can deliver on all the things that all of them promised: more housing, better health, cheaper childcare for all. I mean, these are the kind of promises they were all bandying around. So if they don't believe they can be delivered, why were they making the promises in the first place?
Yeah, the Labour have tended to go into government during the course of their history and have always suffered because of it. They've always lost seats. They've never, I mean, the 2016 election was probably their worst, where they went from 37 down to 6. So they do know that once they do go into government, they're on a sliding scale.
So the big parties get the credit and they get the blame.
The Green Party went in with 12 and, you know, people, of course, cavilled about the Green Party and criticised their influence, but they undoubtedly had a big influence on government, and a lot of their target items in the programme for government were actually achieved. Yet the party suffered at the polls when the election was held on the 29th of November. So for the Labour Party, yes, they can achieve a lot, and they would probably be the kind of the moral conscience in terms of climate change if they were to go into government. But I mean, they would have to take a bite of a reality sandwich, really, in terms of their prospects. They do know that if they do go in, that they're going to cede electoral territory to both the Social Democrats and Sinn Féin. Mm. And that's the reality, unfortunately, of the Irish electoral system, that despite your sacrifices, it's not always recognised by the very fickle electorate that we have.
So the question is what they would get if they were 11 to Fine Gael's 38 and Fianna Fáil's 48. I mean, they're very much a minority party. So what elements of their policy could they drag into the manifestos of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in any negotiation? And would it be demonstrable that those elements were indeed the Labour's elements?
Yes, I think one of the biggest things for the Labour Party is a state housing agency that would have responsibility for building houses, affordable social houses into the future. And that does rub against the policies of both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. And I really don't think the two big parties would be minded to allow that. So the Labour Party would have to make a compromise on that. I think that some of their biggest policies in relation to climate change would have to be accepted by the other two parties, and they would have to make concessions in other areas of housing with a very strong emphasis on affordable and social housing. If the Labour Party would not be able to sell it to its membership if the housing policies that were to be pursued by government were totally Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, they would have to get at least an element of their manifesto very much recognised and ring-fenced and delineated to ensure its delivery. Mm. But I think that their big ask of having a state construction company, I don't think that either of the two other parties would be minded to deliver that. So that would be one of the cruxes in terms of negotiation between Labour and the two bigger parties, if they do go into negotiations. Yeah, so we don't even know that as yet.
So they have to make that decision themselves this afternoon, and they might not be invited to the party.
They might not very well be. So the government might have to fall back on the other alternative, which is to forge an agreement with a number of like-minded independent TDs.
So the question then is, you look at each of those independent TDs, find out what they want. That is definitively their little project in their constituency, and give it to them.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit more sophisticated now than they were back in the 1990s. Of course, they will look at something for their constituencies. But some of the independent TDs will also have national ambitions. So if you look back to 2016, when a number of independents supported the minority government, three of them actually had full ministries. Catherine Zappone, Dennis Nocton and Shane Ross. And then there were a number of junior ministers as well, including a rotating junior minister that was shared between Sean Canny and Kevin Boxer Moran. And some of the same personalities are back. So there is talk coming from this group of regional independents that's formed of late. There's eight of them in total. There is talk that if they were to do a deal with government, that the price to be extracted would be one full ministry plus at least two junior ministries, if not three. And that would be the price that would be paid. The difficulty from the two bigger parties' perspectives is that you're talking, even though they've come together as a technical group, that group is not whipped, and they would have to really make a deal with each and every one of the independents in order to secure their allegiance. And I mean, last week, Micheál Martin, in his first pronouncement after the election, was talking about the first government that he was involved in, which was the one in 1997 that was led by Bertie Ahern, and he said that was supported by three independents, Mildred Fox, Harry Blaney and Jackie Healy-Rae. And he made the point that it was a very stable government that lasted the course. But the point I would make to that part is that that was at a time of economic growth, you know, when the country was just going into the kind of the pre-Celtic Tiger era, and every year saw incremental and sometimes more than incremental increases in relation to economic growth. So it was a time of great stability, and the government was able to show some largesse to the three independent deputies. I think the times ahead of us seem to be more turbulent now, given all the volatility in the world. And there is a certain nervousness within Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael that one or more independents might go overboard if things begin to get a bit hairy. And it has happened before. We have seen independence after 2008. Finian McGrath was supporting the 2008 government, and he departed after a year and a half or so to go into the opposition ranks. And the government even lost one or two of its own TDs to the opposition benches, namely Joe Behan in Wicklow and Matty McGrath in Tipperary South. So there is a little bit of concern that in the event of difficulty, will all of those independents stay the course?
Okay, you can see why based on your analysis there, Harry, why a whipped Labour Party might be slightly more attractive, and maybe the price in terms of junior ministries and all of that and senior ministries might not be as high either, because it looks like they want one for every member of the audience of eight in that independent group. What about rotating Taoiseach and the time for each of the two party leaders to be Taoiseach? Is that any clearer?
No, and I think that process will happen at the end of the negotiations. What usually happens is that when parties begin to formally negotiate, they send in negotiating teams, usually led by the deputy leader of the party, and they go through policy items in some considerable detail. The starting point usually is the manifesto plus any programmes that haven't been completed, government programmes that haven't been completed, perhaps legislation that needs to go through and what have you. And they go through all of that. And once that is agreed, it doesn't end, but late in the process, the two leaders come together of the respective parties, and then they start talking about allocation of responsibility, who is becoming Taoiseach first, how long the Taoiseach will be in office for, and how the ministerial, the 15 ministerial positions, including that of the Taoiseach, will be divvied out, how many super juniors there will be and how many ministers of state there will be. And that's a process that takes place quite late. Now, Fianna Fáil, as we already know, have said that they will look for an arrangement that will recognise the reality of the numbers. Fianna Fáil have 10 more seats than Fine Gael has, and they are either looking for more ministers or for Micheál Martin to be Taoiseach for a slightly longer period of time, or perhaps for both. I think Fine Gael recognise that Fianna Fáil have greater numbers and will make an accommodation there. But to what extent they will make the accommodation remains to be seen. I think they will resist a Fianna Fáil having the Taoiseach for a longer period of time, but they might be more amenable to ceding some of the senior ministerial positions or else giving Fianna Fáil more junior positions, and perhaps giving Fianna Fáil the right to appoint the next EU commissioner as well. So all of those things will become party to those negotiations that will happen at a relatively late stage of the negotiations.
Finally, we haven't mentioned Sinn Féin. I mean, I suppose they're just not present at the feast, as it were, because the numbers for them never added up to a combined alliance of the left that might have been competitive with what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have.
Yeah, and I mean, you've spoken about it before on your programme. Would it have been wiser for Sinn Féin to try to forge a kind of a left-wing bloc or a left-wing alliance a little earlier? They called very late in the day for people to transfer to the Sock Dems and to people before profit. It might have been more fruitful for them to do it at a slightly earlier stage. But that's all over and done with now. You know, Sinn Féin, Mary Lou MacDonald did a long interview yesterday in which she criticised Micheál Martin for refusing to talk to Sinn Féin. And there are certainly people within Fianna Fáil that would feel perhaps more comfortable with Sinn Féin than within Fine Gael. I'm not sure if it's a majority or minority, but there's certainly a significant number of TDs within Fianna Fáil who wouldn't have huge difficulty with Sinn Féin. And if Sinn Féin had been closer to Fianna Fáil, and if Fine Gael had been further back, that would have produced a quandary for Micheál Martin as to government formation, and he might have had to cross the second Rubicon and speak to Sinn Féin. But as it happens, that just hasn't arisen because Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil can complete the numbers together. That doesn't really arise. Mary Lou MacDonald wants to talk to Fianna Fáil. She wants to talk to Micheál Martin. She wants to explore possibilities, albeit remote possibilities. But my information from the Fianna Fáil side is that Micheál Martin has no interest in talking to her. I think the argument from the Fianna Fáil side is it's not personal. It's all to do with policy. But if circumstances had been a little bit different, and we've seen it happen before, the impossible happening before, and parties that we would never have imagined coming together before, you know, another one of those impossible arrangements might have arisen.
All right, Harry, thank you very much for joining us. Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.